You're listening to Excuse the News, a McGill Daily and CKUT collaboration. This week, we hear voices from a rally in support of Occupy Central, which consisted of over 100 attendees and took place outside the McConnell Engineering Building on McGill campus on October 1st. It began at 2 p.m. and lasted until 4 p.m. Speeches were given in support of Occupy Central, including a diversity of opinions regarding the question of whose democracy is being fought for, as well as economic and migrant worker issues, which have been largely ignored by the mainstream media. After the speeches, attendees were invited to sign a petition in support of Occupy Central, which will be presented to the Chinese consulate in Montreal.
I'm Vincent Tao, and I'm a member of No One's Legal Montreal. I believe it should be our priority here to stand against the state's brazen use of violent police force in response to Monday's protests in Hong Kong's downtown core. While the HKP's most recent display of state-sanctioned brutality is plainly appalling and must be condemned internationally, it is anything but surprising in this day and age. Sadly, we have come to expect that when people take to the streets and attempt to exercise their right to occupy a public space in any given global financial hub, they will inevitably be met with the blunt end of a cop's nightstick. From Montreal to Hong Kong, police forces around the world are charging ahead in a one-sided arms race with the people. While we pick up umbrellas and bottles, cops are brandishing bigger and better instruments of war every day. So whether a protester decides to break a window or pick up after their own garbage, we must denounce police brutality in any place and in any form. All police brutality is excessive. I am the son of Hong Kongers, Ngo Hai Hong Kong Yan, so I cannot describe the complicated feelings of longing and belonging I felt when I first saw the images of Victoria Square filled with people my age marching for what they believe in. But when the deluge of Western media reports came pouring in, the idealized images of people power became at once terribly distorted and painfully clear. From The Times to The Economist, Western media outlets are obsessed with the idea of a famously orderly and clean Hong Kong, a postcard image of the prosperous global financial center painted with a nostalgia for the city's time under British colonial rule. At the same time, the press releases recycled age-old language of yellow peril, warning of the ever-looming threat of a backwards and always fundamentally undemocratic China. Reporters perpetuate stereotypes of Occupy Central protesters as model minorities, an image strategically mobilized to shame the anti-authoritarian actions of our black and brown brothers and sisters in Ferguson and abroad. So contrary to the notion that this is the first time in Hong Kong's history that the people are coordinating themselves with little direction from government and institutions, with an exceptional air of middle-class decorum at that, we must be reminded that in May of 1967, the youth of my father's generation set off bombs in the fight for decent work conditions and social planning initiatives from Hong Kong's negligent colonial administration. What must not be erased here is the long history of labor organizing, social justice, and protests in Hong Kong. But more importantly, I fear what else might be erased is what democracy really means. What is lost in the flood of images of youthful students peacefully marching in the streets is the fact that Hong Kong's population of 7 million are not all MBA prospects and would-be hedge fund managers. In the reports of protests streaming in as I speak, why is there no mention of the appalling income gap in Hong Kong, of how 1 in 5 of the city's population are below the poverty line, of how suicide rates in the city's poorer neighborhoods are 3.5 times higher than they are in the adjacent financial districts? When the world measures Hong Kong's so-called prosperity by skyrocketing property prices, it is a sad inevitability that Occupy Central's televised cry for democracy makes no mention of demands for public housing. So let me ask you, what is this democracy and who is it for? Will universal suffrage be extended to the foreign domestic workers from Indonesia, the Philippines, Nepal, Thailand, and Bangladesh that make up 10% of the island's workforce? When Leung Chun-ying is ousted as the city's chief executive, will there be an end to Hong Kong's live-in rule and two-week rule that forced migrant women into a force of state-approved slavery? When Hong Kong achieves true democracy, will there be justice for Irwania, the 23-year-old live-in care worker who was just 1 year ago found to be kept in a cage and tortured by her employers. When migrant workers must silence themselves in the face of overwhelming rates of verbal, physical, and sexual abuse from the employers they must live with for fear of near-immediate deportation, how can we begin to talk about democracy? So I urge you to ask yourselves, what is at stake in Hong Kong's so-called pro-democracy movement? And who does Occupy Central represent? Does universal suffrage for Hong Kong just mean universal suffrage for middle-class Hong Kong Chinese? I believe that democracy is bankrupt without justice and dignity for all peoples.
Hi, everyone. I'm not Kevin Tam. I'm not replacing him, too. My name is Tad. I'm from Indonesia, Chinese-Indonesian. And I'm actually glad that someone mentioned about the oppressions, the exploitation that tens of thousands of Indonesian domestic workers are experiencing in Hong Kong. But of course, today it's not about that. It's about the struggle of democracy in Hong Kong. And I think I'd like to let everyone know here, and also people in Hong Kong, students in Hong Kong, that the Indonesian people are watching your struggle and are taking, I'm getting inspiration from it. And I believe people here too. Because the struggle for democracy is happening everywhere today. In Indonesia, our government is abolishing direct election for mayors and governors, and are planning to abolish direct election for president. And this is the reason why now the Indonesian youth and workers are looking with great interest the struggle in Hong Kong. And for a lot of reasons, the movement in Hong Kong reminded us when we overthrew our own dictator in 1998, it was a movement first led by the students and spread. And I believe definitely that if Hong Kong students and people want to gain their democracy, it has to spread itself beyond, even beyond the border of Hong Kong. For the longest time, of course, we've been told that the youth are only interested in their iPhones, in shopping, especially the youth, they told us the youth in Hong Kong, you know, you find the best of shopping malls in Hong Kong, and we've been told that this is the only thing they're interested in. But I think today, this week, we have seen that it's been proven wrong, that the youth will struggle for their rights. Democracy in Hong Kong and China, I will add China actually, is a threat to the ruling elites. And it's a threat to what? It's a threat to their profits. This is the reason why democracy is not allowed in Hong Kong. This is the reason why democracy is also even not allowed in China. And this is the reason why the Chinese government are moving heaven and earth, trying to isolate the Hong Kong democratic movement. Because they have a profit interest to prevent democracy from spreading to China. And there was a youth there passing by and screaming about, look at what happened in Libya. And I can understand given the propaganda machine that's being used by the Chinese government. But it is true to a certain extent. We cannot rely on US democracy. We've seen what they did. They bombed Iraq, Afghanistan. They bring, what kind of democracy they bring to Libya? We cannot rely also on UK. Well, as far as I know, more than 80 years of UK rule in Hong Kong, there was no democracy there. We can only rely on ourselves. The youth cannot rely on the youth and their allies, the workers. And the reason why it's important to spread the movement beyond just youth, the workers, because there is a deep inequality in Hong Kong. Friend has already discussed about the inequality, the deep inequality in Hong Kong. And this is the reason why the business elite, all the rich men in Hong Kong, are on the same side as the Beijing elite. They're not on the same side of Hong Kong. There's two Hong Kong. There's a Hong Kong for the poor.
I'm actually an exchange student here. I'm from Hong Kong. I was born and raised in Hong Kong. I'm 21 now. I spent 21 years in Hong Kong. So it's my first time in Canada, and this happened. Never in my life I've been like wanting to go back home so much. Like, when we come outside, we always feel like freedom and all that. But now, Hong Kong's this thing is happening now. My friends are outside, my secondary school friends from my university, they're fighting for democracy, and I'm here. I feel so terrible about that. Basically, I don't want to give a long speech because, first of all, my English is not that good, and actually I can't really think straight now. So sorry, I apologize in advance if my things I'm going to say is actually unorganized. The first thing I want to say is that I'm really proud of being a Hong Kongese, Hong Konger, whatever you call it these days. Because ever since SARS, when I was like still in primary school, that's the first time I really felt that like Hong Kong is united. We fight together. We fight SARS. This is the second time. Well, everyone steps out. They take their stance. They fight for democracy in a peaceful way. I have to say this really touches me. We see videos and photos on Instagram, Facebook, whatever social media that we have now. What we see is that we're not fighting in a brutal way. No violence, but peace. Today is the National Day of China. I believe we all know that. And there's this flag raising ceremony in Hong Kong in Wan Chai. What really touched me is that a group of students who are actually fighting for democracy, they went to the place, they stood together, and what they do is like to stop other people from ruining the ceremony. They don't want them to interrupt it, because we know once we do that, we'll give others excuses to fight back. If we stay peaceful, then we will win. Others can't, like, they don't have a reason to bring us down. The second thing that I really want to talk about is I want to remind everyone of why are we here. I couldn't be in Hong Kong, but now I'm here in Canada. It's my responsibility to let others know what's happening in Hong Kong and to gain awareness and let the world like know what Hong Kong's like happening. What we're fighting for is not for Lan Zhanying to step down. That's not what we're fighting for. We're still a part of China. We don't want to be our own country. That's not what we should do. We're still a part of China. We're not fighting for Lan Zhanying to Hatai. We're not fighting for like some ridiculous reasons for like against the communism and all that. What we're fighting is for democracy. We have to bear that in mind. We want to have our own votes, to have our own chief executive. That's what's most important. A lot of people these days, they're angry. So am I. I'm very angry. But there's something dangerous about anger. It blinds us. If we're angry, we can't think straight. We don't know what we're fighting for. So it actually gives me a really good chance to stay out here because I can think more clear. I'm away from Hong Kong for this moment because I can see, so I can see clearer. I know what's happening. I know what we are fighting for. There are. I saw this video this morning. There's a man who doesn't like speak Cantonese fluently. He was tearing down all those banners, all those posters. He was actually, posters and all those things that we props to like support to fight for democracy. The Hong Kong people managed to stay calm. They didn't fight back. They didn't like blame him. They just watched him do that. And then put it back on, stick the posters back, have the banners on again. I'm really proud of that because we managed to stay calm. We know that if we're not in peace, we'll give others a chance. So I really want to remind all of us that the sole and only purpose for this thing is we need democracy, and we're fighting for that. When Hong Kong starts, we step forward, the world will follow. And I actually never introduced myself because I'm gonna do it now. It's the first time that I introduced myself like proudly and with pride. I'm Kevin, I'm from the University of Hong Kong, and I feel proud of it.
Hi everyone, my name is Ashley and I'm a citizen of Hong Kong. I was born and raised in Hong Kong in 1992, and I only came to Canada 4 years ago because of Miguel. I'm here today to just share a few thoughts about the movement in Hong Kong right now. So on September 22nd is the first day of the Hong Kong class boycott. I have friends who are in universities in Hong Kong right now. And they all went to the Chinese University of Hong Kong, the campus, for the class boycott. And there were at least, I don't know how many people, but there were thousands and thousands of students on the campus fighting for their own right, fighting for the future of our generation. Some people say that we are just, you know, reckless and we don't care about people, but we know what we're doing. Like, people said that we don't know what democracy is. But I have friends who are in universities right now. They went to the protest. They started up a team that reports at the front line. He was in the medical team. He is in the medical team at the front line. He got tear gassed, like attacked by tear gas.
Hello, everyone. I'm from mainland China. And I'm really sorry to see what's now happening in Hong Kong, that the police started to do things really brutal. And I want to remind all of you that the reason that today we are here is to supporting the people in Hong Kong, the students in Hong Kong. And also, please don't forget that the reason we are here is to make sure that we give pressure to Beijing to make sure that the government is going to starting to talk with people. So I'm really glad that I can be here and they know, and even it's a less part of the people, we still know what's happening. And we spread our words on the internet, in WeChat, in whatever way we can, so people can know what's happening and can know that democracy can be real. The other thing is, to fighting for real democracy is going to take a long time. From now until 2017, the negotiation with Chinese government will be difficult. We want things to move forward, we want to see progress, but you have to know this is not going to happen today or the day after, it's going to happen in years. So people in Hong Kong, please stay strong. And you have the support from people all around the world, and you have the support from people in mainland China.